This happened not too long ago. I was out for a walk with my dog.
All right, Patsy, you ready? Let's go for a walk. Come on. Let's go.
We were heading east on Burleigh Street when all of a sudden, from behind a giant cranberry-colored door left open from a beautiful cream city brick building, we heard the sweet sounds of a soprano. We stayed a good 15 minutes to enjoy a sweet serenade outside the Florentine Opera's rehearsal space. This is part of the magic of River West and why I love it so, but it gets better. Later that same day, just a few blocks away, now on my bicycle, I heard a much, much different type of music radiating out of Bremen Cafe. My curiosity forced me to go in to see a band called Knifeback. And there it is, River West in a nutshell, where you can go from aristocrats to anarchists, which, in fact, kind of mirrors the history of the neighborhood. This is probably a good time to bring in my co-hosts, Lexi and Mariano. We're going to talk more about the music of everyday life in River West, and the man with the sweetest song of all, Mailman Mike. I'm Scotty Lee Myers. You're listening to my second Kronika for our interseason series here at Speaking Of, a podcast by Milwaukee PBS. Lexi, Mariano, hello. We're back at Woodland Pattern, the incredible bookstore located in the heart of my beloved River West neighborhood. As you two can tell from the intro, I've been thinking a lot about the different things that come to define a neighborhood. And I think we neglect a really important character trait, and that's what it sounds like. So let me ask you this. What would you say is the defining sound of where you live? What's part of the soundscape?
On the more inspiring side, I would say it's like birds chirping. It's a very quiet neighborhood. On the more real side, we're less than a mile from Timmerman Airport. And so, I don't know, every 10 minutes, there's a brrrr, just like, and you can hear it everywhere.
I really appreciate your impression. Lexi, I'm going to pivot to you. Is there a defining sound feature in your area?
Yeah, my neighborhood is pretty quiet too. I would say on any given day, I probably just hear cars speeding by because I live on a thoroughfare through the city. So it'll take you like all the way to Tosa, but then you can go down all the way to basically downtown. And on any given moment, you'll have someone driving like grandma speed and you'll have someone going like double the speed limit. So it's just kind of hearing that zooming going by.
Well, for me, the defining sound of River West, it's the bells of St. Casimir.
Well, it's the first day of fall. Patsy and I are out for a walk. And we are sitting on the steps of St. Casimir's on Clark and Bremen Streets. And we're waiting for the old bells to start ringing since it's almost 5 o'clock. Let's see, 4:59. They should be going off any second now. There they are.
Honestly, it seems a little silly to sit here and go on about bells, but I was really compelled to tell you about them after reading something in Tom Tolan's book, River West, A Community History, which, yes, you can pick up at Woodland Pattern. First, a little bit about the bells. There's three of them, and they have names. St. John Aegidus, Sancta Maria, and Casimir, and they likely would have been baptized before put in use. The trio of bells have been hanging since 1895 in a 200-foot-tall spire that soars above the neighborhood like a pencil tip. These really were a vital neighborhood communication system. Throughout history, the bells have rung to signal time, before every daily mass, and for the Angelus prayer. Additionally, they rang when news reached the church that a parishioner had died, and they tolled after every funeral. If you were knowledgeable about who was sick in the parish, you would know who it was that died. Which brings us to the Spanish flu. That arrived in 1918 and it killed more than 12 million people worldwide. It hit River West's predominantly Polish neighborhood especially hard. One resident living at the time recounted that, quote, "People died like flies. Church bells were ringing all the time." I'm not sure how I would feel about the sound of those bells in that scenario. I do know that these are the same bells that both sets of my great-grandparents heard when they settled here in River West in the early 20th century, shacking up in Polish flats. When I hear the bells today, it's more than just a pretty sound. I sometimes become quite spellbound. I go back in time. I think of my grandpa as a kid. He's playing in the street with his siblings. The sun is going down. He won't have to run home for dinner until he hears the bells of St. Casimir, and he hopes they're far off yet. Or maybe he's wandering alone along the river, a bit lost and a little scared as he encounters strangers getting off their shifts at the factories. Now he's eager to hear St. Casimir's bells for the sense of direction. Other times he hears the bells and he quiets himself, bows his head, brings his hands together to pray. He knows nothing of me. Yeah, I sit on the steps with my dog, and I think about all of that. I also think about something Vince Bushell told me. He's the founder and editor of the River West Currents, the neighborhood's cherished monthly newspaper. I'll let him be the last to chime in on the bells.
I was fascinated just listening to this dirge, this bell ringing. And then they ring the Angelus, which is this prayer you're supposed to say to Mary at noon and six, and the bells ring really, really loud. And that dates back to medieval Europe. So you get this church that it really feels like a little European village, particularly in that part of the neighborhood. And if you're right underneath the bells, and some people complain about them, and I think, well, go live someplace else. But when the bells stop ringing, there's this echo that continues on for several seconds, which... it's just like this vibration, like a Beatles song. Where, when does a song stop?
I'm not sure when the song stops. I do know it's time to stop talking about bells for the moment and shift gears to our next story. Lexi Mariano, let me invite you back into the conversation with a question. Who do you think has the highest approval rating in the world? And I guess what I'm trying to get at here is, like, who do you think is just, like, the most universally loved person?
Beyonce. No, I'm kidding. No, I'm kidding. No.
I think there could be an argument. Okay, proceed.
I personally love Beyonce, but I know there are a lot of Beyonce haters. But I would think a universally loved person is probably Betty White. Rest in peace.
Oh, that's a great answer. Yeah, that's a really good answer. Mariano, anyone come to mind?
Yeah, I would say if it's a living person, I would say Dwayne Johnson. And if it's just anybody, I would say Mother Teresa.
Well, Christopher Hitchens really attacked. There are some folks who have attacked Mother Teresa quite incredibly, yeah, with real force and vigor. But it's funny that you say The Rock, Dwayne Johnson. I did some Googling. I wanted to see, like, some folks who would come up. And usually it's, like, celebrity-related, which is a little lame, but... The Rock, Dwayne Johnson, Jackie Chan, Paul McCartney, Adam Sandler, Messi, Oprah, Gabrielle Union. But I actually have given this some thought myself. I have a very specific person who comes to mind, and that is Shel Silverstein.
Backward Bill, Backward Bill. He lives way up on Backward Hill, which is really
the author of Where the Sidewalk Ends, The Giving Tree, and A Light in the Attic, among others. He also wrote for Playboy. He wrote song lyrics made famous by Johnny Cash and Dr. Hook. I mean, I really feel like everyone, and I mean everyone, loves Shel Silverstein. I mean, have you ever met a Shel Silverstein hater?
No, I actually started a story about PTSD with a poem that he wrote, I think for kids, about war and hugs. And it was perfect because it was called The Human Hugs Project.
Yeah, no, I've never met a Shel Silverstein hater.
I think he's a good candidate. It's really hard to find someone with, like, such a hard approval rating who is just universally loved. Well, River West has its own Shel Silverstein, someone who everyone loves, and I mean everyone. His name is Mailman Mike.
Hey, can I ask you guys a quick question?
Sure.
I work for Milwaukee PBS, and I work on a podcast.
Yeah.
And I think I'm doing a little story about Mailman Mike.
How do I begin to convey how well-liked Mailman Mike is? You know what? I'm going to leave it to a toddler to explain.
What's your name?
Alice?
Alice? Yeah. Oh, cool. What's up, Alice? Do you know Mailman Mike?
Okay, let's say he's going to listen to this later. What do you want to tell him?
Well, he's the nicest man in the world.
He is the nicest man in the world. What else do you want to tell him?
He gives rubber bands to me when I kind of want them from him. I'm his supervisor.
You're Mailman Mike's supervisor? So you get to tell him what to do and stuff? Wow, that is so cool. Sometimes I try to be more like Mailman Mike.
We should all be more like him.
Yes.
Mailman Mike, as you just heard, has a lot of fans. He's been delivering mail in River West for decades. If Marvel created a new superhero called Friendly Man, it should be modeled after Mailman Mike. He's the black Ted Lasso, just oozes positivity. I really wanted to know more about Mailman Mike, beyond what I've learned from our many short conversations while walking the dog.
Sorry to make you come.
So I bought him a coffee and put a microphone in front of him, and I started with the central question.
I really do feel like you are the most well-liked person in this neighborhood. Your smile is infectious. You wave to literally everyone you see on the street. You stop, you chat, you talk to everyone. Sometimes it's small talk on the porch, and sometimes I get the feeling that that person, that resident, they might be pretty lonely, and that might be the only talk they have that day, and I think it means a lot to them. I just feel like you are such a glue to this, and you're so happy, and you give yourself to everyone. It looks exhausting. How do you do it? Have you always been this way?
Yeah, I probably had great preparation and didn't know I was being prepared for this. I'm the youngest of 13. I had to get along with the other 12 siblings. They were my outlet out of the house when they went to the mall or movies or wherever they went on the weekends. For me to tag along, I had to shut up and have my own money. So that taught me to deal with other personalities and to let me know life is not about me. Life is full of sacrifice. So much of life we go me. But life is full of sacrifice. When I'm at work, I don't have an excuse to get upset because I'm at work. I'm being paid to walk around here. And little kids think I'm cool. I don't make me cool. They make me cool. So if they make me cool, I have to watch my behavior and my actions, because if I'm cool, they're going to try to emulate me. Hopefully I can send a message to them all that, hey, we all one. Love all, you know. Man, just be kind. And if you be kind, believe me, it comes back to you. Not too many people get the type of attention and or appreciation that I get on a daily basis at work.
Well, you get it because you give it.
I think we all should be giving it. I don't think I'm no different than nobody else. I'm just exerting. My dad told me when I was a little boy, he said, you know what, young man? I said, what, Pop? He said, you can pick your day. I said, couldn't ask no questions. It was like talking back when I was a kid. So that means go sit on the stoop and think about what he just said. And I said, shucks. Pop pretty smart. That's why he ain't never mad. You can pick your day. And so that's transpired into my life. You know, every day ain't great, but don't dwell on that. Sometimes it's 90% bad. Sometimes it's 10% bad. But you just take a peek at it. And if you can't do nothing about it, don't worry about something you can't control.
Mailman Mike's full name is Michael Booth. He's 55 years old, but looks much younger, probably due to that smile he's always wearing. He grew up right here in Milwaukee. Graduated from Whitefish Bay High School in 1985. After that, he enrolled in the Army, serving in one of the Air Defense Artillery Units, where he spent time guarding the Czechoslovakian border back when the wall was up. He served for 3 years.
And I basically went for the educational benefits anyway. Being the youngest of 13, my parents didn't have any funds or anything set up for me. We didn't have those extra things lying around. And actually, my parents, maybe my dad had a third grade education and my mom a junior high. But they were smarter probably than I'll ever be. Just through life experiences coming from Mississippi, I've even as a child seen water fountains that a black cook couldn't drink out of, you know.
You saw that as a child?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Now,
see, we tend to think of that as ancient history.
Well, I'm the youngest of 13, so I'm probably considered ancient, but look young, you know.
Mike grew up on 26th and Capitol Drive. The Booths were the first black family to move on the block.
But we didn't experience the pressures from the neighbors. It was just, when the police come. And I'm sure a lot of that's still going on today. You know, I'm not saying cops are bad people. I know a lot of police officers who've worked and retired, a lot of great cops that I've grown up with, actually. But just like in every profession, you're going to have your handful.
Though just a kid, Mike vividly remembers the civil rights demonstrations that broke out in Milwaukee in the early 70s. He wanted to be like his older siblings and participate in the movement, but his mom wasn't having it. Not at that early age, anyway. Were you marching on the 16th Street Viaduct back in the day?
No. My mom wouldn't let me go. She was afraid. Only thing I got to attend was the Million Man March out in Washington, D.C. Yeah, a lot of my siblings in the early 70s had gone to D.C. to march and things, and my mom, she was afraid of me because I would see them going, and I was inspired, and I said, I'd die for what I believe. And my mom looked at me, I'm probably 6 or 7 years old, and she's like, boy, you ain't never going nowhere. You ain't dying for nothing. But I didn't understand the magnitude of what I've said.
The way Mike sees it, he's got just a couple more years working for the Postal Service, and he's starting to think about what's next. And I'm not at all surprised to hear him talk about his appetite to serve people, to be of use.
And it is time for me to move on soon and start something else, maybe get a real job, work at a homeless shelter or a food pantry, or something I can impact the people, make them laugh. I have a gift that I'm just not realizing I have because everybody's telling me I do. I don't know.
Before we departed so that he could go home and make some gumbo, I had to tell Mike how much I, well, all of us really, appreciate him.
Well, I just want to wrap up and say, I know you downplayed some of the stuff you do in this neighborhood, but I cannot stress enough. There are people in this world who are liked and loved, and even the most popular people have their detractors and their criticism. But when someone brings up Mailman Mike, everyone gets a smile on their face. I can't even begin to quantify how important that is that we have people like you. It is extraordinary. I know I speak for this whole neighborhood when they say we're so glad that you're here and you do what you do and you bring the spirit that you do to this place. So just on behalf of everyone, thank you. I mean, I think we all love you. And is there anything else you kind of want to say before we wrap up?
Yeah, I like to say thank you to the people out there. Thanks for accepting me. You didn't have to accept me. You had a choice. Thanks for accepting me. I appreciate that.
Opera, punk, church bells, and Mailman Mike, each of them producing such sweet music here in River West. That's a wrap on my second Kronika. Thanks for listening. I'm back with another episode next week. In the meantime, be well, neighbors, and take care of each other. I'm Scotty Lee Myers, and this is Speaking Of, a podcast by Milwaukee PBS.